You are Locked On Jets, your daily podcast on the New York Jets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is John B. from GangreneNation.com presenting the Locked On Jets podcast on this Wednesday, August 29th, 2018. If you enjoy the show, subscribe, iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. Tomorrow night is game night. The Jets will take on the Philadelphia Eagles in the preseason finale. It's a Thursday, so even though we usually do our mailbag show on Thursday because tomorrow's a game night, we'll talk about the game this Thursday. So instead, we'll do our mailbag show today on Wednesday. These are questions that have been either emailed to me or submitted through the comment section of GangreneNation.com. So let's jump in. Our first question was emailed. Jets seem to have a bunch of wide receivers. Should they look to deal Robbie Anderson for some offensive line help or a tight end who can catch? It's not a bad question. Trades like that are tough to pull off because it's difficult to find a team that who matches up perfectly where the area where I have a lot of depth is your weakness and the area where you have a lot of depth is my weakness. So, you know, because to make a trade like that, you have to feel pretty comfortable about what you have in that area. So, you know, the Jets have a lot of receivers. You know, is there a team out there that's offensive lineman rich or tight end rich who's willing to give up one of those guys right before the start of the season in order to get a wide receiver? It's difficult to find a match like that. It's difficult to... So I tend to doubt it's going to happen. And I got to be honest, Anderson is not the guy I'd be looking to trade if I were the Jets. And I say that even though I think there are segments of the fan base where Anderson is a little overrated right now. I think people sometimes mistake the potential to be a top flight player with being a top flight player right now. Anderson is, you know, has flashed some skills. He's shown that he might be one of the better deep threats in the league. And he's got potential to grow into more. He has potential to grow into like a kind of a go-to guy on offense. I think people mistake that. I think people misconstrue potential with he's there right now. He's not there right now, but he's got potential. So I don't know that I'm willing to give that away. It would have to be a really good. Like, I mean, if, you know, hypothetically, and this would never happen, if Kansas City was willing to deal Travis Kelce for Anderson, okay, well, fine, that's a tight end I'd do the deal for. But I don't think Kansas City is doing the deal. So I don't think another team would make it worth the Jets' while. I don't think another team would make a deal that would make it worth it for the Jets. I don't think they give up the type of high-end offensive lineman or the high-end tight end it would take for me to be willing to deal Anderson. And, you know, I just think it's too soon to... I mean, essentially, you'd be giving up on Anderson because he's had a bad preseason, and through one preseason, he hasn't meshed with Sam Darnold, which is true, but I'd like to give this a little more than one preseason. I think that, you know, these two still have plenty of time to get some chemistry. I think if there was a guy I would trade hypothetically in a deal like this, a guy I'd look to deal, it would be Jermaine Curse, because he's a guy who kind of becomes obsolete if Terrell Pryor takes over the number three receiver job, which seems like a possibility. You know, the Jets in this offense, I don't think you're going to see a ton of four receiver sets. That's just not the way an offense, the Jeremy Bates type of offense, operates. And he's not going to help you on special teams. So he becomes a guy who doesn't help the team a whole lot as a number four or lower on the depth chart. So to the extent, and I don't know, again, these deals are really tough to pull off. It's really not easy to do one of these player-for-player deals before the start of the season where you'd match up perfectly, where one team's strengths is another team's weakness and vice versa. But, you know, that would be the guy I'd look to deal. I really would not actively be looking to trade Robbie Anderson right now. 25 years old, off a good season. Probably would have had a 1,000-yard year last year if Josh McCown had not gotten hurt. So, I'm not looking to deal him. The lineman or tight end I'd have to get back would have to be really, really good if he's the guy I'm trading. Our next question: if there's no edge guy to acquire in a trade, do you stick with what we've got or add a veteran free agent like an Elvis Dumervil? Interesting article I read a few months ago stated that Vic Beasley mentioned the monster year he had in 2016, how he learned from Dwight Freeney in the film room and during the game. I got to be honest with you. This was a surprise to me because I looked at this question and I was curious about Elvis Dumervil. Did you know Elvis Dumervil was still in the NFL last year? I had no idea. I thought, it's not just that I thought Elvis Dumervil was retired. It's like, I thought he had been retired for 3 to 4 years. Apparently he played with the 49ers last year and had 6.5 sacks. So, you know, every year there's some guy who I see watching a game, and I'll be like, I thought that guy retired 3 years ago. And I guess because of this question, I now know Elvis Dumervil is still playing in the NFL, or he still played last year. He's a free agent currently. So how about that? Elvis Dumervil still in the NFL. Who knew? And he actually, I mean, again, he had 6.5 sacks last year, so it's not like, you know, he was totally washed up. But to answer the question, I do need a second just to express my surprise that Elvis Dumervil is still an NFL player. He's 34 years old now. Now, to answer the question, I mean, I'd look to do anything to try and impact this edge rush. The Jets have nothing. I mean, the Jets have nothing there. And, you know, through the preseason, you haven't really seen anybody step up. Not that I'd necessarily buy into somebody doing a great job in the preseason. I'm not sure that necessarily would make me change my mind. I think you have to try anything. Now, a guy like Elvis Dumervil, even though he had 6.5 sacks last year, I mean, this is not a guy who at this point of his career is going to step in and give this team, you know, he's not going to be a number one pass rusher. He's not a guy that you want to be your best. I think he profiles more of a situational guy at this point of his career. So he's not going to help you a ton. You know, he's not going to be the guy you need on first and second downs who, you know, forces the offense to double team him and he still beats it. I mean, I doubt that's the guy he is at this point of his career. You know, this is not the guy who had 2 17-sack seasons. This is a guy who's, you know, on his last legs, most likely, because I thought he was retired for 3 years. So, but I wouldn't mind a move like that. I got to be honest with you. I don't see it in Dante Fowler Jr. I don't understand. What I don't understand is how people put him in the same sentence as Khalil Mack. I mean, this is a guy who's a situational pass rusher. Dante Fowler Jr. is not going to fix what's wrong with this team. So I wouldn't, unless Jacksonville was willing to give Fowler away, I don't think I'd do a deal for him. So yeah, I'd probably be looking on the scrap heap. I might look to see whether there was a guy I like who was a little younger who maybe shook free, maybe something just didn't mesh with his current team. You know, if some team, you know, cut some guy at the end of the preseason, I might look there. I might look to the waiver wire, try and find some untapped potential. I'm not sure Dumervil's. I wouldn't totally object to it, but I just think, you know, at 34 years old, I don't know how much he's going to be able to give you. At best, he'll be a situational guy. That's just true of whoever you. I mean, you're not going to, unless you trade for Mac, you're not going to find a top-notch pass rusher. You're not going to be find the type of guy who keeps opposing offensive coordinators up at night. But yeah, I do think that the Jets need to bring guys in left and right, trying them out to see whether they can find somebody, just to see if they can upgrade this thing a little bit. So, you know, you want to bring in a guy like that, I wouldn't object. I'm just not expecting a ton. I think at best you're probably going to get moderate production from him. You know, who you're betting with is just as important as who you're betting on. MyBookie has been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Enter promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. They have live in-game betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Visit MyBookie.com, that's MyBookie, and use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. Next question, do you sit Teddy and protect his trade value in the fourth preseason game? Teddy Bridgewater is not our future, and we are already paying McCown. Teddy has shown enough to be a strong option at quarterback, and Sam Darnold has shown enough to be the future. Shouldn't we sit Teddy while he's healthy and wait for a suitable trade? I don't know that I'd necessarily put him in bubble wrap completely. You have to remember, I mean, he's been playing behind backups pretty much the entire preseason. I'd probably play it by ear. I would definitely give McCown most of the game. I'd give McCown a heavy dose of this fourth preseason game because you reach a certain point and it just doesn't matter. But I think I would not object to Teddy Bridgewater going out there just because I think it's important to get Teddy Bridgewater reps, you know, and continue to show that that knee will hold up. I think that he, you know, I just don't think you can put him in bubble wrap. I kind of object to the idea that you don't play a guy because he might get hurt. I mean, this is, it's kind of, that's football. I mean, what's the point of playing anybody then? I'd probably play it by ear. What I think I'd do is I'd give him the start, and if it reached a point where it looked like the offensive line was just playing brutally or, you know, receivers weren't producing for him, then I'd pull him. And that was actually a point I was at in last Friday's game where just everybody around him was failing, you know, and I got to a point where I was just like, just take him out and put McCown in. If these guys aren't going to, like, help him produce, you might as well get him out of there. So I would probably give most of the game to McCown. But I wouldn't mind seeing Teddy Bridgewater play a little bit in this game. I don't think I'd necessarily avoid playing him because, you know, he's been playing all preseason behind this backup offensive line with these backup receivers. He's still played pretty well, and he's been healthy. So if I felt like he needed reps, I wouldn't hesitate to play him. Now, again, I'm probably not playing him the full game. I'm probably giving McCown more of the game. But just to get him a few extra reps, I don't think it's a terrible idea to put him out there. Next question. Sam has been a tad conservative, sometimes not passing deep. Do you see him gradually getting bolder? I hope he doesn't turn into a check down quarterback. Well, I don't think that he's been a check down quarterback. I think that the play designs have largely led him to throw where he's throwing the ball. Check down to me, you know, a check down quarterback to me is like an Alex Smith where a guy's open deep and he's not pulling the trigger. He's not throwing it. Instead, he's throwing a much shorter route. I don't think that's what Darnold's been doing. I think the Jets, I think their passing game is essentially built on short passes, and you want your receivers to make plays after the catch. That's, you know, quick reads, get the ball out quickly, get it into the hands of your playmaker so they can do something with the after the catch. And the guys after the catch just haven't been doing it. I mean, I think that's the big story of the low yards per attempt stat for Sam Darnold. I think he's made most, for the most part, I think he's made the correct reads. It's not like there's a guy open deep and then he's just dumping it off to the running back. He's throwing the ball. There are short routes being called and he's finding the open guy. So I don't know that I agree that I don't know that I would say he's a check down quarterback right now. And the other thing is that you do have to remember that this is preseason. So the Jets have probably scaled their offense back quite a bit. I think, you know, once the regular season starts, we'll see some more deep shots. So yeah, I do think once the regular season starts, they'll open it up a little bit. They may call some more deep passing plays, but I don't know I think the thing that worries me about the Jets, I said this the other day, is that the quarterback's playing well and he's averaging under 6 yards per attempt, and that tells me that something else is going wrong. And that's, you know, a lot of instances, these receivers, the guys he's throwing to, aren't making the plays they need to make. So I'd like to see those guys do a little bit more after the catch, because that's what this offense is based on, the ability for players to run after the catch. So you got to see a little bit more there. Next up, if the Jets cannot get at least a second-round pick for Teddy Bridgewater, shouldn't the Jets offer up McCown and eat up the $9 million in order to get the best return possible? I think the teams that are exclusively looking for a backup like the Raiders might prefer a no-drama guy who can call in and grasp the offense immediately. If you think that you can get a better offer for McCown, I'd do it. I tend to believe that Teddy Bridgewater is going to be worth more. I tend to think he's going to bring back more in a trade. I'm not saying I would necessarily trade Teddy Bridgewater right now. I think, you know, if you believe, and I don't know what the Jets think, I think it's impossible. I don't know what I think on this, but if you think that there's a possibility you can get more by holding him into the season, you know, maybe some team suffers an injury and is looking to make a deal. I don't think for a second there's going to be some team that's going to become desperate and suddenly you're going to get a first round pick for Bridgewater. But maybe a team that isn't on the radar right now emerges and is willing to give up a pick. Then maybe maybe I'd hold him for now, but I'm looking to trade Teddy Bridgewater because he's not going to be around this team in 2019. You know, if he was going to be on this team in 2019, I'd like to keep him, but there's virtually no chance he's going to be on this team next year. So I think you have to try and get what you can for him, and I think he's probably going to bring back more in a trade than McCown will. Now, McCown probably won't be either, but I think if there's a scenario where some team's willing to give up more for McCown than I can get for Bridgewater, then I probably would look to trade McCown. But I just have a hunch that Bridgewater is going to be more valuable in a deal just because of his age, just because of his upside, because, you know, he's starting material in this league. So I just tend to think that I got to be honest with you. I think once we get to the trade deadline, if a fifth round pick's all I can get for Bridgewater, I'm doing the deal because he's not providing me much value this year. You know, this team's not really built to go on a big run. This is not a team built to go on the Super Bowl run. So the backup quarterback, this is not like the Eagles last year where the backup quarterback play was going to be the difference between me winning a championship and me not winning a championship. And if Teddy, and his contract only is up this year, so then he leaves for nothing, you get nothing in return. If I can get anything in return for Bridgewater, I'm probably making that deal because he leaves after the year. You're probably not looking at a compensatory pick because the Jets just have too much cap space. You only get a compensatory pick if you lose more than you gain in free agency, and the Jets are going to gain a lot in free agency just because of how much cap space they have and how many holes they have. They're going to have to spend this year in free agency. So it's not even the situation where with Teddy, where, you know, you say, okay, well, if we don't get a second round pick, we can let him go and get a third round compensatory pick. I don't think that's quite how it's going to work here. So I'm still looking to trade Bridgewater. That's me though. Next question, does John B. go nuts if Mike Maccagnan brings Breno Giacomini in on a visit? And a follow-up, more like, does he spontaneously combust? Breno Giacomini was released by the Raiders yesterday. Yes, John B. goes nuts if Mike Maccagnan brings that guy back. I did not want that guy in the first place back in 2014. I had no idea why Idzik wanted this guy. I have no idea why Idzik gave him that contract. It was a bad contract. He's a bad player. Don't bring him in. I'm not going to spontaneously combust, probably. I'm going to go a little nuts. Do not bring him back, Maccagnan. Don't bring him in. Don't even bring him in for a visit. We know what he is. He's not a good player. You have issues on the offensive line. This is not the answer. Don't do it if you don't want me to go nuts. And our last question, hypothetical trade, Teddy Bridgewater and Jermaine Kearse for a third-round pick, T.J. Yeldon and Dante Fowler. What say you? I say that you finally found a trade that I'll do for Dante Fowler. And it's not because of Fowler, it's because of the third-round pick. I like the third-round pick that I'm getting for Teddy Bridgewater. And, I mean, I like, you know, Kearse has grown on me, but I can get it. He's a throw-in. I mean, if that's the difference between me getting a third-round pick and me not getting a third-round pick, I'll do it. So I say yes. Yes, I'll do it. I'll take Fowler. He won't hurt the edge. He won't hurt the pass rush. I think people are overstating a little bit how much he's going to help. But, yeah, if Jacksonville's willing to do that deal, we'll do it. Thank you for listening. That's the show for today. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, if you like the show, subscribe on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes. Have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow to preview the final preseason game.